Many of us know that whatever the Lord allows in our lives is right and is good. It might not feel right. It might not look good. But according to the word of God, it is right and it's good. I give glory and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I don't think I turned this on. Oh, okay. It's not on. Okay. Hello? Hello? Did I do it right? Hello? Hello? There it is. I always get that confused. I don't need a microphone. Anybody who knows me knows that. It is what it is. I am the human bullhorn of Philadelphia Prayer, Praise, and Worship Center. And I'm glad about it. That's who God made me to be. It's all right. I give honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, respect to our pastor and co-pastor in her absence, to all of our ministers, and to all of you, my father's children. I really have to say that I struggle with this message today. And not, God just kept telling me there are no shortcuts. This is not what I had designed that I wanted to give to you, but God said, I don't care what you want, it's not about you, so. Start from scratch and dig in. And so,
my Lord.
Bless the Lord for being able to hear that from God this morning. I want to draw your attention again to the scripture from Romans, the 8th chapter, but I want to give it to you from the Message Bible.
Okay.
And I'm going to read verses 12 through 21. And again, it's from the Message. It says, so don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us. Nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are. Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reigns in it until both creation and the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading and the hearing of His holy word. Let us look to the Lord. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And God, I'm crying, Uncle, I surrender. God, I pray that you will rise up in me, God, like never before. I pray, God, that my flesh will be crucified, God, and that your people will get exactly what you have planned for them this day, that the word of God will come forth with power and conviction, God, that it will pierce the awaiting hearts, God, that they might be better for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. This I ask, and I come, God, with a spirit of expectation that you will deliver. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Today I'm going to preach from the thought God's adoption plan. And the three points that I want to leave with you is, number one, what people call you. Number one is what people call you. Number two is your new name. And number three is what God is calling you to. Most of the time, if you ask a person who they are, they will immediately respond by identifying themselves by what people call them, especially in a family setting. Most of us have names ascribed to us based on what we used to do or what we used to be. Some people are identified as P.P. Paula or Gangster Greg or Dopehead Daryl or Stanky Stacy. Those names are based on what we used to do or based on our sin nature. They don't call us by our name because their mindsets are in the natural. Remember when we were growing up, we used to watch Dennis, the Menace, Spanky, and Alfalfa, and the gang were known as the Little Cookie Monster. Did he even have a real name? What was Cookie Monster? Nobody knows his name because he was known as Cookie Monster based on what he did. But the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, that means check this out. All things are become new. So that means that we get a new identity in Christ. And so based on scripture, God takes our old nature and he erases it. Colossians 2 and 14 says that he blots out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. See, God is like, and I think I used this analogy before, that God is takes like an etch-a-sketch of our lives. All of those things that were not pleasing in his sight. Remember the etch-a-sketch? You just draw on it. All of this stuff goes on the etch-a-sketch. And then you shake it up and everything is erased. And see, that's how God does us with our old sinful natures. See, he erases those things in our lives that don't look like him. And so we have to understand that it's not what people call us. And I love this. Minister Mitchell says, he talked about this before, the old line that he likes in a movie. And Madea said, it's not what people call you. It's what you answer to. And see, a lot of us get messed up because we're answering to what the world has identified us by. And so the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so that's why we can't do kingdom work, because we still have a natural mindset and we're answering to the call of the world. But how many of us know that God has given us a new name in the heavens? He doesn't look at our sin nature. He gives us a new name according to where he is placing us in the kingdom. And so when we look at, somebody turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. See, the operative word there is, and such were some of you. But you have been washed. But you have been sanctified. But ye have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. That's what you used to do. That's what you used to be before you came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That was in your BC days. And the Bible says, again, in 2 Corinthians, if you are in Christ, you have a new identity. So we need to find out, are we in Christ or are we out of Christ? The world cannot dictate who you are in Christ. See, we live in a world that is filled with haters. People are always going to say, I remember her when. I knew her when she used to do this. I knew him when he was dope-head down. I knew when he was running the corners. I knew. People are always going to have something to say about who you are. But see, we who have... who have grabbed a hold of our new identity in Christ, we won't let that knock us off our square. Because our new identity is hidden in Christ. And if God be for us, who can be against us? But we're so attached to what the world says about us. We get, you know, tricked up and we get off balance because, truth be told, we're not secure in our Christian identity. We're still grabbing a hold, and we need affirmation from people down here on earth. And see, when we're so attached to having people give us accolades or people telling us, oh, you're so wonderful, oh, I think this of you, then we miss the mark. We missed an opportunity to hear what the Father has to say about us. And let me tell you something, that what the Father, once the Father gives you a name, the world or the label that the label that the world gives us is no comparison to what the name that God wants to give you in the heavenly. So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted by looking to the world to affirm you, to give you accolades. If you are in Christ, that's who you're supposed to get your identity from. My God. And I want to give you some biblical examples of what I'm talking about in case you just don't trust what I'm saying. When we look at the biblical models, I want you to understand that God assigns our names based on kingdom status. God does not give you a name based on where you are right now. Well, look at Esther. Before she was elevated to be the queen, her name was Hadassah, meaning myrtle. In the Jewish culture, the myrtle tree had an important religious significance. It symbolized peace and joy. But her kingdom name became Esther, which means that she was a star. That's in the city of Persia, that means she was a star. So God took the joy and peace that personified Hadassah and used it to make her a star. And she was elevated to a Jewish queen, and she saved her people. You see, you have to understand that God takes our old identities and uses them for his good. And you see, there is nothing that we experience in this life that is ever wasted. We might say, oh my God, I don't understand why I have to go through this. Why is this happening to me? is a treasure. And so he takes ordinary people like me and you to bring glory unto himself. Look at brother Abraham. You know the story of Abraham. His original name was Abram, meaning exalted father. But then God changed his name to Abraham because he was projecting into the future. And that's what God does with us. He doesn't look at us right here where we are, but he gives us a name based on where he's taking us. And the name Abraham means father of many nations. You see, Abraham and Esther recognized that God had called them for such a time as this. They didn't care what they were because they knew that God had a calling on their lives. But unlike them, many of us are busy focusing on what we used to be. We can't accept the fact that God has adopted us as his sons and his daughters. And see, with the adoption, he gives us a new name. And see, when we don't recognize the new name that God calls us, gives us, we're allowing our minds to be filled with clutter and turmoil because we can't live up to our kingdom name. If somebody is calling you a name and you know it's not your name, but all you can hear is, fornicator, 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 adulterer, adulterer. If that's always in your ear, that's what you begin to associate yourself with. And if you are associating yourself with that, then you cannot think kingdom minded. My God. Wrong focus. And so the scripture says, he blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. God is saying, why are you beating yourself up? Why are you doing that to yourself? That's not who you are in me. God has turned his back to the sin nature that we used to have. And God is so gracious and so merciful. He doesn't bring that stuff back to our remembrance. He doesn't keep telling you, you're no good, you're bum, you're bastard. He doesn't bring that kind of stuff to us because he wants us to be kingdom minded. But we get stuck. We get stuck in our old nature. And when we're so stuck, we can't go forward in the kingdom. How can we be a blessing to the kingdom? How can the kingdom be built up when everybody in the kingdom has that mindset? What would the kingdom look like if everybody is in the natural man? And Deacon Tony says this all the time. I'm not just a spiritual being. I'm not, what is it, Deacon Tony? I'm not a natural man, but I'm a spiritual being. But we don't have the mindset of a spiritual being. We absorb everything down here on earth. And the mind, the commercial said, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. But our minds are so focused on the things and the cares of this world that we have a hard time thinking about the kingdom. And God is saying, that's not who you are. The scriptures that we talked about this in Sunday school this morning, in Ephesians, the first chapter, it says that he adopted us. We were predestined to adoption. Even when we were in our mother's womb, God was giving us a name that when we were little children, we didn't even realize that God had a calling on our lives. But God knew us when we were young, what he was calling us to be. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the way that God calling me to walk in. I want to answer. an assignment, has a call, whether you recognize it or not. Now, in the natural, if somebody calls you something other than your name, you be ready to go toe-to-toe with them. So why isn't it in the spirit that we take down and don't live up to the name that God has called us to? In the natural, let somebody call you a trick. In the natural, let somebody call you a drug addict. In the natural, let somebody call you a pedophile. You be ready to knock them out. But in the spirit, God is calling your name. And see, when God calls us, he doesn't look at who we used to be. He looks at us according to our kingdom status. And when he gives us a new identity, he says, you are redeemed. You are holy. You are righteous. You are justified. You are sanctified. You are a mighty man of valor. You are a mighty woman of God. That's what God calls us. That's who God sees us as in the kingdom. The songwriter says, he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And so God adopted us into his family that we might be his heirs. And I don't know if you realize, but if you are an heir, that means that you get an inheritance. And let me tell you, you don't always have to wait till somebody dies to get your inheritance. The Father is a living God, and he's ready to give some good gifts to his children right here on earth, right now. The Bible says that it's his good pleasure to give us the keys to the kingdom. And I don't know about you, but I'm like that commercial I'm wearing. It's unclaimed diamonds. I got mine. Did you get yours? I want what my daddy has for me. And the Bible goes on to say in John, the 15th chapter, verse 16, I love the scripture. It says that he has chosen us. Do you know what that is like? He has chosen us. And not only has he chosen us, but he has ordained us. Do you know what that is like? When God picks you out, you were on the sidelines, and the devil was making a mockery of you. And God said, there's treasure in that trash. God didn't throw us away because of our sin nature, but he adopted us. He adopted us as his children based on his recollection of where he knew we were going. He had us on his mind. And he looked at us and found something beautiful. He made something beautiful out of our lives. And so he's saying, come on, walk in it. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be intimidated. I am your father. And guess what? I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And so the Bible tells me that he's the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords. So that means that he got it going on. And if he has all of that at his disposal, all I have to do is cry, Abba Father! And whatever I ask according to the Father's will, I can get in on it. Because that's the kind of God I serve. He's not going to leave us.
about you. But that's good news. He has chosen us to be a partaker with him. And the scripture says that the suffering of this present time. You can't touch that. Can't touch that. Glory to God. It cannot be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. He's given us some of his glory.
Thank you. Come on now.
And so why would he do that? Because he needs all of creation to see that he brings out the best in us. So who wouldn't serve a God like that? Who wouldn't serve a God who has taken us out of the garbage can of life?
Well, thank you, Lord.
Dusted us off. Told us we're beautiful. We're awesome. Who walks around with a tattoo of us in his hand.
Wow.
What a mighty good God we serve. And what a powerful God. It was a song that the young adults sing. And every time I think about this song, it makes me weep. It says, he took everything that I was and made me what I am. All that I was. And just think about all that we used to be. All that we used to be. If God began to peel the covers back. And even Minister Mitchell said it this morning. What an awesome testimony. If God just took the covers off each one of us. And revealed what we used to be. I say, thank you, Lord. I say, thank you, Lord. You took everything that I was and made me what I am. That's why I worship you. You, oh God, took everything when I was dead in my sin. When I was not fit to live, and I wasn't fit to die. You, oh God, took everything that I was and made me what I am. And that's why I worship you. You don't know the cost of the oil and my alabaster box. You were there the night he found me. You didn't feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. Hallelujah. You don't know. You weren't there. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. And so because of that, I'm so grateful for the things that he has done. I am so grateful that he erased my past, but he didn't erase my future. The songwriter said he loved me through my good
and my bad.
He loved this little girl, this big mouth little girl. He loved in my bag.
Yes, yes, yes.
God's plan of adoption is like nothing compared to what the world's adoption plan is. And when he begins, I don't know if you all know this, when God adopts you, or in the natural, when you are adopted, you get a new birth certificate. And your birth certificate has your new last name on it.
Watch it.
And so, just like it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. And so, when God gives you your new birth certificate, when the God's adoption plan is finalized, you get a new name written in the heavenlies. And I don't care what comes or what goes. Nobody can change your name. Your name is written in glory in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are redeemed, you are sanctified, you are justified, you are precious in his sight. And let me tell you something, that God doesn't adopt you for you to sit down and do nothing. When he adopts you, there is an expectation with adoption. And the expectation is that you will look like God in everything that you do, that you will bring forth, the scripture says, not just fruit, much fruit is what the expectation is. So God has a mandate. God has assigned you to bring forth much fruit. Are you willing to be adopted?
Well,
he wants to own you. He wants to say, okay, the world doesn't want him. I want him. Bring it on. Bring it on. That's the kind of God we serve. Standing all over the house. God's plan for adoption. God wants you, and he's calling you by name. He says, I saw what you did, so what? His blood is bigger, wider, stronger, deeper to cover all of your sins. It's nothing that you have done, will do, that will take God by surprise. His blood, his finished work on the cross has covered us from this day forward, henceforth, now, and forevermore. He has got you covered. And despite what he knows about us, he still loves us. And he was willing to send his son Jesus to die on Calvary's cross. He's the best father that you will ever have.